You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, after a frustrating night of trying to get online, is
Matthew Sebastian hyphenated flounder hyphenated Ariel Haas.
So, how much does it cost you to change your name each week?
I'm looking at a cool grand, really, at this point, so.
So, okay, people, get on our Patreon, give us some money, mm-hmm. Buy something on TeePublic. Matt needs the money to change his name every week.
Yeah, it's pretty costly, so, you know.
And he's doing it for you, folks, whoever you are, even if there's just one of you listening. He's doing it for you.
Yeah.
So you should feel guilty. No, I'm joking.
Definitely should feel like, no.
So, today on the show, after actually one little question, Matt, before we get into this episode, mm-hmm. Do you know if Jimmy Buffett ever found his lost shaker of salt?
I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, because I'm just curious because the guy keeps singing about it.
Well, I have a theory. It could be the guy on the ship who gave Ariel a present. He may have had a salt shaker on that ship as well. So,
oh, okay.
You know.
With the pepper?
He may have stolen. Oh, you ruined the surprise. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Great episode that people were definitely going to watch. Before they listened to this review of it. Yeah, the pepper. He might have stole Jimmy Buffett's salt shaker while he was on, like, the island or whatever. And then he's like, oh, this would go well with the pepper gift. But then he ended up eating the salt all by himself because, you know, like, you know, we're used to, like, having salt, you know, and stuff like that. Like, we're very spoiled in, like, the modern world. Back then, salt was like a delicacy. If you get your hands on salt, you know, you had something really popping, you know. But you know, a lot of people couldn't get it very often, so they're eating food pretty much with not, well, depends where you are in the world. If you're like in other parts of the world where they use spice, you know, regularly, you could probably still get your hands on spice. Even then, I don't think it would be cheap. It would still probably cost you a pretty penny.
So. I mean, I know spices are very important in the movie Dune, which is out recently. So,
yeah, well, you know. Spices or the drug spice, as in Star Wars, mm-hmm. You know.
Which they stole from Dune, but.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that's what spice is, a drug in Dune?
Something. Like I don't know what it is. Something.
Well, in Star Wars, spice actually comes from a, like, it could be used in medicine, other things too. The drug dealers just turn it into a drug, but it can actually be used as medicine as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's an episode where Ahsoka in the new Clone Wars, the, like, mm-hmm. the last season of the Clone Wars. Yeah, there's a whole arc where Ahsoka is, like, made friends with some girl, like, below Coruscant when she left the Jedi Order, and her sister were kind of like had like a job to do, and it turned out that they were like importing a bunch of spice, and then Ahsoka was like, you know what this stuff is? Like, this stuff is like a powerful, you know, drug or whatever. But then they found out later on that like that's just like one of the ways that can be turned into, because like a spice, like in its purest form, is actually like medicinal, but they just like they like alternate like altered it to be like an addictive drug or whatever. It's interesting. It's almost like a metaphor for like opiates and stuff like that, you know, like it turned out it was originally a drug, you know, medicine, and then
Yeah, so it was a metaphor before it's, well, actually no, currently now it is part of its time, but So today on the show we are covering the second pilot, because it was a 2-episode pilot presentation. So this is our part 2 of Little Mermaid's Island.
Yay.
We covered the first episode, which was Sebastian's birthday. Sebastian, go fuck yourself. And today, we're covering the second episode, which is called Tell the Truth.
Yeah, well, we're going to tell the truth about and this episode.
About how great it is. Yes.
This one could also be in parentheses. This one could also be called Flounder, Go Fuck Yourself.
Basically, yes.
Basically.
Just to remind you, if you want a Sebastian Go Fuck Yourself t-shirt, they're on TeePublic, folks.
Yeah. Yeah. I might write a song about it too. Who knows?
Yes. So, what the fuck happens in this episode, Matt?
Okay. Well, this one was somehow worse than the first episode. I have to say, okay, so there's like two separate things. Both are true, and they're both separate from each other. So Flounder's a fucking moron in this episode. But also, Ariel is a piece of shit. Like I don't know what's like the Ariel in the animated film is like nice. She's kind. I don't know what changed with this like new version, because like in the first episode they all like cruelly pretend that they forgot Sebastian's birthday, but like not only that, like they were like purposefully like making it like worse than like if you actually just forgotten someone's birthday. Like they're like throwing out hints, like letting the guy know that they forgot his birthday, which is like even
worse. Yeah. Like
Ariel literally wrote a song saying that she can't spend time with Sebastian because she's too busy today. Well, she's too busy writing the fucking song about not being able to spend time with her friend. Maybe you could have just spent time with your friend during the time it took you to write that song and then sing it with a full fucking band behind you. But, okay, that's the first episode. In this episode, Flounder is just, like, having fun. He's just swimming around, and Ariel already is like pissed at him. Like, you have the entire ocean to swim around. Why do you gotta be in my? It's like, oh my god! Like, what the hell? So that's point one. Point two, though, is that Flounder is a fucking moron, and he ends up knocking over Ariel's like pearl collection that she collects, I guess, for some reason. I don't know. And then
like you do.
So there's two separate things. Both are true. Flounder is an idiot, but Ariel already set the tone with just her, like, you know, I hate to say the word, bitchy behavior, but that's really what it is. And it's like, why do they make this Ariel like so like just like frustrated with her friends? Like, it just seems weird to me, because like the original Ariel wasn't anything like that. And if anything, she was almost like too giddy and too kind. So I thought, oh no, we gotta go to the opposite now to like strike some weird balance, I guess.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. the whole cast on this show sucks. Anyway, so
yeah.
This episode specifically, they're annoying, all of them.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And their choices, and it's just like, okay, how easily led astray is Flounder by these fucking little eels?
Oh, God. Yeah, these eels. Well, they were the ones that were trying to mess with Sebastian last time.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it at least took them a little bit of needling to convince Sebastian that all of his friends have forgotten his birthday. Flounder just immediately believes
whatever they tell him. I mean, this is aimed at preschool kids.
Right.
And, I mean, I guess it's trying to teach them good and bad. And right. And the eels are kind of like the devil in this situation. So this is like teaching you good and bad for people that don't read the Bible.
So they kind of read the Book of Flounder instead or whatever.
Yes, the Lost Book of Flounder.
The Lost Book of Flounder. And who was the other fish? I forgot her name.
I don't know. It's his sister.
Oh,
fuck. What's her name?
I just watched it like a few hours ago, but I forgot.
I watched it a day or so ago, so I'm kind of...
She wasn't in the original, was she? Was she like a new character?
She was a new character for this show.
Oh, wow. Okay,
and, great. Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah. New characters.
Yeah, we need new characters for
this. Yeah, because like Scales was a new character.
Scales. That's, oh, God. Scales. That was a weird fucking... Okay, that's a whole trippy thing right there.
Yeah, the character isn't even credited on IMDb. That's the new the sister.
That's hey, can we take a break really quick, actually?
Yeah, hold on.
Alright.
Okay, so I looked it up right now. The sister's name is Sandy.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That's right.
And she's like pinkish purplish, unlike the yellowish Flounder, but they're basically the same fucking puppet. Okay. So.
And so, okay, yeah, so Flounder ends up knocking down the pearls, and they go into this really weird song, like, uh-oh, I'm so sorry. Didn't mean to do it, or something like, I don't know
what
the lyrics were. Like, please don't be mad at me. And like, they can't sing in tune whatsoever. And
I was going to make that my ringtone for my phone. Then,
like, Aragorn. Yeah.
I was thinking, you know.
Yeah, just take that song. Like, oh, God.
Wonder if I can sing that like, at karaoke or something.
Maybe, if you could find, you might have to, like, actually give them, like, the CD or something like that.
That seems like too much work.
Play track two. Yeah, it might be. Plus, I don't know, I don't be able to find the instrumental.
Well, I was just going to have you, play it for me, that's all.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll just do my own version of it, yeah.
It'll be live karaoke.
A live karaoke band, yeah.
Yes.
The dumbass Ariel sorry song, and then and she's like, they're like, I won't do it again, and she's like, I know you won't, Flounder, and then she basically has like Sandy watch over him to make sure that he doesn't fuck around. And
yeah, it's like, I know you won't do it again, but I'm gonna have your sister watch over you.
Yeah, well, maybe that's how she knows that he's not gonna do it again, because his sister's gonna watch over him.
Trust.
I know. This episode.
I know.
Hmm.
So, what else happens? I'm blanking on what happened.
it's fine. It's really out of order. I know that the guy in the ship, captain of that one ship, he's
Grimsey.
He's coming back to give Ariel a present. For some reason, yeah. And that stupid bird is following them.
Scuttle.
He thinks he's, like, really smart and clever, and, like, nobody can understand him, but it's just because he's an idiot. And like, the captain even kind of implied that, like, oh, yeah, that must be the reason why, you know, that thing. And he gives Ariel a surprise, but she can't open it. Meet up with this musician dude named Scales, who he was in the previous episode, I believe, too. He's playing a song in that. And then, but his scales are broken, man. Can't play in tune because his scales are broken. So he's just playing on like pots and pans and stuff like that. But then somehow, to tell the guy what happened, a full rock band music plays in the background. So I'm not sure how, you know, that's possible if he can only play on pots and pans. I mean, it seems like he's got a backup band. Sounds pretty decent for the time period. He sings like this sort of blues rock song about his scales, like being out of tune, and he starts playing like listen, and he's like do 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 do, and then like, you know, two of the scales like play like this really dirty note. Like he's like, see, like, yeah, I do. Okay. And the song goes on for like 5 minutes, like just like the previous episodes, like they do not know how to time things out. Like they just go on forever. Like this song could have been like 2 minutes. It went on for like 4.5 minutes in a TV show. Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, like the songs on Blue's Clues, for example, which is like a similar demographic here, you know, did not go on that long. I don't even think the songs on The Wiggles went that long.
Wiggles, yeah.
And they were known for singing.
That was back then. That was their thing. Like,
yeah. I don't know. It's, and I mean, Scales is voiced by the great Jim Cummings, who is like probably best known as like the most current voice of Winnie the Pooh. Among like a bazillion other voices, like he's in like almost any animated film you watched in your lifetime. So, yeah. So yeah, they got that going for them. Do you want to take a quick break here, Matt, and then we'll come back and we'll talk more about this wonderful episode?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice Podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
Da 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 da, and we are back. Yes, we are. We are back. Yes, we are. We are back. I figured we have to sing everything, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you do.
So, yeah. This episode, man. So.
It's great.
We have this other story going on with Grimsby has bought a small wrapped package for Ariel. Brought, I should say, from the Spice Islands.
Yeah.
Ariel pops up and wants her gift, but And then we, that's where we, that's where we end up with over at Scales Island. That was the spinoff that never happened.
Yeah.
Scales Island.
Scales Island. That would actually have been somewhat decent because there was at least good, somewhat good music in it.
Yeah. So we had the whole little Scales song that we talked about. So an impatient Ariel and Scuttle, they try to guess what's in the wrapped gift. And they sing a song with, like, what can it be? What can it be? I just can't wait to see. Curiosity has got the best of me. Yeah. The greatest song ever written. You know. When you think of the great American classics, you think of that and, like, Born in the USA. And,
Born in the USA.
And,
All
the stuff. All the, you know, all the great American songbook includes that song, of course. So, Flounder and Sandy have decided to make up a story, about losing the pearls again.
Yep. Even though Sebastian caught them and told them to tell the truth.
Yeah. They decided to make up a story of a huge orange sea monster with a gigantic tail that knocked over the pearls they had just finished collecting and put back in the shell.
Yeah. That's believable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, the sea monster didn't eat Flounder and Sandy and or Sebastian, all it did was knock over some pearls.
Like you do.
Didn't knock anything else down, didn't, like, crush into a wall or anything like that.
No.
Specifically the pearl box or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The clam with the...
The clam shell or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, the clam shell. And those pieces of shit, those eels, were the ones that were... You know, very easily persuaded Flounder because he doesn't have a mind of his own. And again, Flounder was probably a little kid as far as, like,
the
show is concerned, so I guess it's much easy to convince him to just go ahead and make up some bullshit story. And Sandy didn't want to, but then even he convinced her, so I guess Sandy even has a weaker will than Flounder does because she's older than him, at least it seems like. And then, meanwhile, those eels are fighting over... Because they stole two of the pearls after Flounder and Sandy were trying to collect all of them. And then they were fighting over who gets the bigger pearl. And then when they were fighting... excuse me, when they were fighting over it, Ariel found them and thought that she was collecting more pearls. No, she knew that they were hers. She's like, what are these pearls doing here or whatever. So then that's how she knew. So when she came back, she had already known that somehow her pearls got out because she had just found two of them already on the sand floor. And then...
Yeah.
But even then, Flounder decides to lie after all this stuff. Like, again, like, the show gives you no, like... like, it promises you everything and gives you nothing. Like, the whole point was, like, to get you to tell the truth, and he immediately starts trying to tell the lie again. It's like, what?
So, Sebastian at one point here during this sings a song which I really liked the lyrics to.
Mm-hmm.
The moral to the story is very plain to see. There's no need for lies or alibis. All you need is honesty.
Yeah.
The truth. The truth. Feels so good, stop lying. The truth is always simple.
Stop lying. Whoa.
Yep.
I like how that just, like, is in the middle. Stop lying.
Yeah. Stop being a little bitch there.
Flounder.
Flounder.
You piece of shit.
Stop floundering there, Flounder. And
yeah, floundering. Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, so the eels argue over the two pearls they stole,
they fight over who has the large, who gets the largest pearl. Ariel swims by and recovers her two pearls from the ocean floor and swims back to the Cave of Treasures. So, she knows that Flounder did all this shit.
Yep.
She ends up taking, you know, rewarding them for their lying.
Reward.
Yeah. By taking them and Sebastian with her to Grimsey's surprise gift opening.
Yeah, rewarded for their loyalty. He did tell the truth, but only after he got caught in a lie.
Yeah.
So it wasn't exactly coming forward.
Yeah, it's like let's just reward you for lying. You did tell the truth because you were caught.
Exactly, it's not the same thing because she's like, "Are you really going to tell me?" Like, "Well, I guess not now." It's like that's not exactly an apology.
I mean, Bill Clinton eventually told the truth about his affair with Monica Lewinsky, but that was only after he was caught. So I'm just saying, you know, maybe he deserved a prize too.
Yeah, because he already got his prizes, but. Sorry, that was bad.
Well, he's a rich white man, so he gets whatever he wants. So,
yeah, of course.
Sorry. Anyways, the so they so Scuttle, you know, had tried to open up the gift, and it made him sneeze because it's full of pepper. He's convinced to tell the truth, and they all sing a short reprise of "The Truth." The truth feels so good. Stop lying.
Stop lying. I love that. They just stop lying. It's like they really get to the point.
So as the episode ends, Scuttle continues to sneeze uncontrollably into a barrel, and the episode ends.
Great. So that's the second thing Scuttle ruined. Because in the first episode, didn't he ruin Sebastian's birthday cake?
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, like, what the hell's the... Like, quit wrecking things. Like, you talk about Flounder. Okay, well, Flounder just knocked down some pearls. It wasn't like a special occasion, like for a party or something like that was like building up to like, yeah, we're going to go to this cool event. And then, you know, he goes and ruins it. No, that's Scuttle's job apparently. Cause he already fucked up Sebastian's birthday cake by stepping in it or sneezing or doing whatever the hell he does. And now the pepper, why does that guy keep coming here with the ship every single time he does, Scuttle destroys whatever he brings? Because didn't he bring the birthday cake in the first episode? And it's like, why does this guy go to Spice Island so many times? And then
he's a drug runner.
Maybe he is. Maybe that's what he. Maybe that's why he keeps going back and forth. Or my theory is, I think he's got a crush on Ariel. I think that's why he's coming by. Like that's a weird thing. He just randomly gives a random present to Ariel. That's suspicious. I mean, not necessarily saying you can't just give a friend a gift, but it's like,
yeah, but he's like in his shit. He's like got to be in his like 50s or 60s, and Ariel looks like a teenager. So
not really, no, really,
not the actress playing her. I'm saying the character is probably a teenager.
Oh, gotcha. I'm gonna say I'm like the angels looked like she was like 30 or something.
Yeah, but either way, you know, it's just kind of creepy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He's lonely. He spends a lot of his time on the ship, probably, and you know, he ends up finding you know a mermaid, which is like a rare creature. Mm-hmm. So he probably got like a thing going, like, oh, a mermaid. You know, that's you know, I could cross that off on my list of. You know, adventures. Okay, whatever. I'm turning this really creepy. But
so, I found some reviews of the show.
Sure.
On IMDb. Do you want me to read those?
Yeah.
Okay, this is like probably covering both episodes. Okay, this is from Martin Haffer, who we've read other reviews from in the past. It's June of 2020. 4 out of 10. Typical of many early 90s kids shows, but it never ended up airing as a series. I enjoy perusing YouTube from time to time to see what sorts of oddities I can find. One search term I've used a few times is failed television pilots. And this is how I found Little Mermaid's Island. A failed show that was a collaboration between Jim Henson and Disney. It was among the last projects that Henson worked on before his untimely death. When I began watching, I realized that I am not the best reviewer for this after all. The show was clearly targeted towards young viewers, perhaps up to about ages 6 or 7. So keep this in mind, as I'm a middle-aged guy, not some kid. So was it any good? It was okay, not bad. The puppets were sometimes pretty good, sometimes flat and expressionless, even when they talked. But the content seemed very similar to the kinds of kids' shows I watched with my daughters when they were younger. Not a terrible show, but I could see why Henson wasn't happy with it. His puppets were really capable of more. Yeah, because Jim Henson and the Disney people both hated the show when they watched it, so...
I mean, how couldn't they? It would just, it may have started off, good with, a good idea. A lot of stuff, it just turns out it's just bad execution, not so much the story.
Yeah.
It's just, you can't get the right people working for you or with you, or your budget gets cut in 50 pieces or, whatever it could be.
So this one's just a really quick one. It's a 5 out of 10 from... Nikki Baby.
Okay.
Back in June of this year.
Wow.
Kind of unsettling. The show would have been okay if the dragon Scaly, even though it's Scales, not Scaly, wasn't in it. I like Jim Cummings. He played the Scaly dragon. But his character was the worst part. That's their whole review.
I disagree. I think he was the only character that actually had any life, and every other character just felt dead to me. They're like, I'm Ariel, I like to collect pearls, and then Sebastian's like feels like he's on morphine all the time, where he's just like doing whatever I can't do his accent.
Yeah.
Or he talks, I don't even know what he sounds like. Then you got Flounder, even him as a small child has the energy level of a 50-year-old, and Scales is out there rocking out, using his own body as a freaking musical instrument, pumping out rock and roll tracks in the middle of his little island. But sure, yeah, he's the worst character. Yeah, I totally agree. Not sorry.
I do agree the show is kind of unsettling, though.
It is. No, it really is. It really is. Especially, if you go to the failed TV pilots YouTube page to find this video.
Yeah.
The thumbnail that they use for the first episode is just Flounder, a close-up of Flounder.
Oh.
It just looks really, really creepy.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely nightmare fuel.
Or if you want to get super baked or stoned and just watch that, it's just
I think it would just make you paranoid, and then you'd have to think about Scuttle attacking you or something.
Happy thoughts, yeah. Because I was watching it, I felt I just felt like I was high watching it. This is really trippy.
Yeah. So, anyways, I do. Okay. Here's the thing, though. I do recommend people watch this.
Oh, okay.
Reason so is just because it's so fucked up.
Yeah.
It's something you have to see. I mean, at least watch a few minutes of it. It's just fucked up.
Yeah, well, a few minutes, you got to get past the theme song, which goes on for 15 straight minutes. But then, and then you get to watch the remaining 7 minutes of actual show, and then again followed up by another 3 minutes of the song. Yeah, who knows? Maybe we should do a petition to have them do a third episode. Get all the actors who are probably dead by now. Maybe. sorry to say. Ariel's probably in her 60s at this point, maybe. Who knows? So what?
Well, Buddy Hackett is dead, and he played Scuttle.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think Clive Revell, who played Grimsby, I can't say that for some reason.
Grimsby.
Yeah, he's still kicking, I believe.
Okay.
He was the original voice of Emperor Palpatine, the Emperor, in the original cut of Empire Strikes Back. So.
Oh, really? Sweet.
Yeah. Samuel E. Wright just passed away, who played Sebastian. So, yeah. Marietta De Prima played Ariel in this.
Yeah.
And she was born in 1964, so she's in her 50s.
Okay, it's fine.
Yeah. Late 50s. So, yeah, you know.
So, you can have a whole story where she's led, like, a full life. She's collected lots of pearls. She Flounder stopped messing with her shit. Sandy, unfortunately, had a drug addiction for a while, but she's better now.
And they're both fully grown now, too. They're, like, you know.
Yeah.
They've got, like, kids of their own.
Yeah. Little baby Flounders, little baby Sandy, of course, because they just named her kids after themselves. And then,
Yeah.
Ariel turned her pearl collecting hobby into a business, and she worked her way up the corporate sphere, and she's now a very successful pearl seller, I guess. She hired those two eels to be her marketing reps. She was kind of weary at first because of how evil they were, but then she thought, well, these are the kind of people I want, you know, to build my help me build my empire. But once they did, she fired them because she knew that they were bad people. It's like, ha ha, you thought that you were corrupting me.
And then she needed to find new people, so she restarted the TV show The Apprentice. And
yeah.
And you have all these different fish come in to try to, you know, be your new assistants.
Yeah, Flounder, like a no-go right there. Like, yeah. Nope, sorry. I still don't forget the time when you knocked over my pearls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, I thought you forgave me. It's like, I forgave you. I didn't forget about it. I don't trust you. And then, why am I blanking on the word?
Hires?
No, not fire. I was going to try to do a pun for Donald Trump, but I can't think of anything that would.
Oh yeah,
that would. Rhyme.
But yeah, she ends up. I mean, and then we find out that Scales has a drug addiction.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a, you know, he's just stuck. He's homeless now.
God.
And he's on the streets playing a Scales for money.
It was that pepper. It's like that pepper addiction is what got
him. Yeah, that's what got him, you know.
Because of Scuttle, when he bursted the pepper open, some of it went into Scales' like nose, and he sniffed it, and he's like, what is this stuff? Wow, it's really good. So good job, Scuttles. Now you know, that's another thing that's on your conscience.
Scuttle became a pimp, too. I mean.
Oh, I'm sorry. He sounds like he would.
Yeah.
He's got no conscience whatsoever. And then, So then, yeah, Ariel fired the eels and had a hitman kill them. And then she felt bad about not hiring Flounder. But so she put him on like a monthly stipend or stipend. I'm not sure how it's
pronounced. Stipend. Yeah.
Stipend for like, you know, a couple $1,000s a month. Not a lot, but it's enough to, you know, to get by relatively comfortable. Not lavish, but, you know, you're not in poverty. You know, and then he spends his free time, you know, writing, like, you know, apology songs to Ariel because he still has, like, the guilt from, like, when he was, like, 8 years old of, like, knocking over the pearls. And that guilt has, like, eaten him up, like, throughout his whole life. Like, he just feels so sorry all the time.
Yeah, and
so
Sebastian left them all, too. He just got sick of their shit. And he just told them all to go fuck themselves. Yeah. And
just like they told him to go fuck themselves.
Exactly. On his birthday. So, he's like, you forgot my fucking birthday, bastards. And then he came back and he's like, you'll never forget my birthday again. And then he becomes this multimillionaire. And So every he starts year. he starts a birthday cake company, and I want to watch this.
This show is better. Yeah. So every year he actually makes it like a holiday where like you have to recognize his birthday. Like it puts out billboards like every year, like Sebastian's birthday is coming up August 2nd or whatever it was, you know.
And if you don't follow it, you get murdered.
Yeah. Yeah, because he sends the hitman that killed the two wheels to do that. But if you do follow it, he sends you a free birthday cake every year for his birthday. So
yeah, but it's not like a big one. It's only like a personal birthday cake. It's like, you know, it's small.
It's like, you know, yeah, it's like one of those.
Like one of those ones you get at the restaurant when it's your birthday and you think it's going to be cool and they give you this little small little chocolate cake. Yeah.
But then again, he's sending this out to thousands of people, though. So, you know, yeah. It's like the equivalent of like multiple, you know. I mean, you can't send a whole birthday cake to, you know, a million people. I mean,
that's
just a lot. But like, you have to, in order to eat the cake, you have to actually, like, be on, like, a Zoom call to, like, show that you're actually celebrating his birthday. So he'll know if you are or not. So, like...
Well, he watches everybody. He's like Big Brother. He just has, you know...
Well, that's part of what he did with his business. He it's a telecommunications maestro, and then,
And when you eat the cake, it actually puts a tracker on you and it knows what you're doing at all times.
It's the 5G. He also put the vaccine, COVID vaccine in the cake, too.
Okay.
Why not? They put in salad dressings, right, according to Mike Flynn, so.
Yeah.
Yep. I would watch that show, to be honest. That's a pretty riveting idea right there.
Yeah, I mean, it turns from, like, this into, like, The Wire or something, you know? It's, like, completely... The Wire.
Yeah.
So, anyways, so that's our speculation. Let us know what you think the show should be now.
Yeah, that's our speculation of what would happen. Yeah.
Send me a message at mike@cullenpark.com with your version of the future of Little Mermaid's Island.
Yeah.
Which I'm still confused. What island is it? Does she have a fucking island?
Yes, but I don't understand. Does she own an island now?
Because, like, I mean, Scales is on an island.
He's on his own personal island that's just like his house.
Yeah,
like,
but does she have a fucking island? I don't remember her having an island.
Because I've only ever seen her in the little cave area.
Yeah, underwater.
So it's not an island. It's like a cave dwelling. So maybe she owns the island, but...
And she's charging Scales rent.
See, that's what it is. So that's how she started making her money. She was charging rent to, you know, the few inhabitants. And then she was using that to, you know, go on her pearl collecting.
And then eventually he stops paying rent. And then he just breaks into the song Rent from Rent, you know?
Yes, we're not gonna pay.
He has a dragon like filmmaker named Mark move in with him, and
yes, and he records everything. He's like, we're not. What's a sea term that sounds like pay? Is there like a fish that sounds like pay, like with an A sound, like a? Oh damn it!
I don't know. Okay. But yeah,
so that's what happens. So Ariel and Sebastian they're kind of like have like competing interests now because they're both multi-billionaires. So like Ariel's got the pearl business, which she's also, you know, converted into like several like housing units. Like that's where she got like when she was charging Scales rent. It's like, yeah, I could do this for lots of people now. So then she starts doing that. So she's got like a real estate kind of business going on. And then, but Sebastian has the telecommunications things going on. And so they're like, you know, fighting each other about like, well, so Ariel doesn't want like all the homes to have like 5G chips and like the people and have like cameras everywhere to watch, spy on them to make sure they celebrate Sebastian's birthday alongside him. But Sebastian's like, so Sebastian has so much money too that he can actually do stuff where he can cause the land itself to have lesser property value, which then that fucks with Ariel's cash, right? So there's like this battle of wits going on. Like, oh, well, you won't let me spy on your tenants to make sure that.
So it's kind of like the TV show Dallas back in the 80s.
It's Dallas slash With the Wire slash
Empire slash I don't know, The Apprentice, Game of Thrones, and you know, all these shows put together. So this is going to be the greatest show ever written.
Oh, it's going to be epic, man. Little Mermaid's Island 3 is what we should call it, really, because it's the third episode, but it's going to be like the start of like a whole series. Or we could change it, Little Mermaid's. Ooh, Little Mermaid's Island with the word I-Y-E, because Sebastian's spying on everyone.
Ooh.
But it's also you know, her island that she owns, right?
So, yes.
So, you know, just to, like, you know, prepare people, you know, who might be, like, a little bit upset and are not open-minded, there is going to be a Sebastian Ariel sex scene at one point, so get over it, do what you need to do. And it's going to be, like, explicit. It's not going to be, like, blurred. So just letting you know, there's going to be crab and mermaid lovemaking.
Oh, okay.
It's not so much lovemaking, it's more of a raw...
So this is sexual. No longer a Disney property, this is just going to be, like, on HBO?
HBO Max or something like
that. Yeah, okay.
But they had to get that out of their system, right? Because there's been a lot of sexual tension going on between the two, really, since the beginning. And, you know, we're talking decades worth of just pent-up desire and passion, but also just anger and loathing for each other because of their competing business interests. But once there is release, they start to be able to work together and solve the business problem.
And all this happens, and then it leads right into the original Little Mermaid movie.
Yeah. How? Wait, time travel maybe?
No, what happens is just this is basically, we thought that Ariel was like a teenager or a young adult when Eric met her.
Okay.
When Prince Eric, but no, she's actually really, really old.
Yeah. See, it makes sense.
Yeah.
To me.
So if you want to see this, folks, let us know. And if you give us like $1 million, we'll produce this episode.
Oh, totally.
Yes.
We'll pitch it to HBO Max, Showtime, AMC.
Or we'll just do it as a nice little fan film, you know?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I'm thinking like $3 million maybe. Probably more than that.
Is doable. It really is.
Yeah.
Doable. Because we don't need a huge production, per se.
No, and I mean, and Matt and I will play all the characters. Oh, wait, that's going to be really weird for the sex scene.
Yeah. Yeah, it reminds me of, what was that episode of Community where they're filming the kick puncher?
Yeah.
And they're like, you sure Britta couldn't do this scene? Like, yeah, she's going to work the right time to film the sex scene.
Oh god. All right, anyways, folks, we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah.
So make sure you check out our TeePublic, our Patreon, and give us a 5-star review anywhere you can review podcasts, like Apple Podcasts and Stitcher and all that good stuff. You can find us anywhere, go to all2real2.com. It'll give you all the links to everything that you need. We're on TikTok. Still trying to figure out what to do with it, but we're on TikTok. And I put up a couple videos so far, you know, advertising our episodes. Maybe once we're able to be back in studio together, Matt and I can film some stuff and put it up on the TikTok.
Like just dancing or doing whatever they do on TikTok Ooh, we could do the karaoke thing where you can sing. Do they even do that anymore? That was like an old thing.
I don't know. We could lip if you give us enough money, folks, on our Patreon, or if you just send it to PayPal at mike@cullenpark.com. we will lip sync any of the songs from Little Mermaid's Island. In costume.
Oh, God.
But it's going to be $500 for us to do that.
Yeah, each.
Each, yes, each. Okay, so if you want us to, Mike at CullenPark.com, PayPal. There you go.
Yep.
Okay, if I actually end up with that, that'll be funny. So, but anyways, folks, make sure you be good to each other out there in all seriousness. And, you know, wear a mask. Wear a condom. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at CullenPark.com.